So today, what we are teaching is the profound path, the Lama Chopa. So first, we have talked about the blessing of the ground, rising as Guridam, making the offerings, and then especially blessing the inner offering and making the inner offering, and then inviting the merit field, making the seven limb, the prostration offering, as well as the mandala offering. Now we have to understand that what we are talking about here, the Lama Chopa belongs to the Vajrayana teachings, and at the same time belongs to the Mahayana tradition. Now, regardless of whether is the person who gave the Dharma, the person who listened to Dharma, we need to have the proper motivation, which is to want to benefit all sentient beings. You must be free from hoping for benefit for oneself, and we hope to be a Buddha for others. And And for the benefit of all sentient beings, we will practice the great profound path, the Lama Chopa. With this as the motivation, with this motivation, then all the deeds that we do will be a positive cause for the attainment enlightenment, and they will all reap positive results. So, what is Dharma? Now, Dharma, what emphasized is the motivation. About the motivation to have, there are many different kinds. For example, the motivation to attain the state of a human or a god, and then motivation to renunciation, motivation to benefit all beings. There are so many kinds of motivation, and the Dharma we talk about here is Vajrayana teachings, and so therefore we need to have the Mahayana motivation. Otherwise, we cannot call this a Mahayana teaching. So therefore the motivation is to want to be Buddhahood for the benefit of all sentient beings, and so therefore our motivating factor can only be that for the benefit of others. So now we have to talk about many kinds of offerings, the outer offering, inner, secret and suchness offering. So what we are talking about here was the, yesterday we talked about external offering and inner offering, and also that which means the inner offering means the offering of achievement, offering of realization or attainment. So today, all of you, you should take a look at this phrase. All the visualized offering, the outer container environment, we ornamented with best and offer, and inner, we actually internally we make too many different kinds of offering, filling the entire space and earth, and especially all in samsara and nirvana, everything that's positive and good, anything that can be utilized, we actually offer. So to offer everything that's positive in samsara and nirvana, then we should visualize that all the positive karma created from body, speech and mind now, and those will be created in the future. That includes all the positivity created from body, speech and mind now and the future, everything, all the realization and all the faith and devotion we have in our heart, we offer to the Guru and Idam, to the Buddha, Bodhisattva, Nakinis, the protectors, ocean-like assemblies, and we have to think that no matter whether it's ourselves or other people's by virtue with strong faith and great aspiration, every kinds of dharmic practices we do, any realization, sutra recitation, any good mind, good thoughts we have, everything we eat and drink, everything we walk, etc., we sleep, everything we visualize and depends and offer, and if offering through this way, this is known as the highest and the best form of offering. So at the moment, we should think that all the good offering we transform, everything transform is offering. This is offering of realization. Or the mind must think that everything that's good, positive, and auspicious in the world. And we rejoice also in all the Buddha, Bodhisattva, the Shravaka, the Prayaka Buddha, all their great merits and realization. We rejoice. And after rejoices, we offer all these as an offering. which is reciting the verses, the offering object arising, samsara and nirvana by virtue, everything dotted with flower with virtue, the three gates of ourselves, others, and the worlds beyond, and just like a thousand four-petted lotuses is blossomed, and giving joy to the happiness and happiness to all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Similarly, whether in some whether worldly or other worldly offerings, and which can actually delight all the beings and Buddha Bodhisattva, this is actually refers to the suchness offering, which means the real nature, which is interdependent on everything else for them to exist in relative terms. So everything that is that visualized or that is made through the body, speech, and mind, everything is without inherent nature, because the lack of inherent nature, therefore its nature is pure. Visualized in this way, then we should think that everything that we offer will not be lost, and will become the most steadfast and strong kinds of offering and merit as a result. At this moment, we should visualize that everything that we are making, the offering, all this white virtue, etc., everything is like a thousand petal lotus blossoming, extremely beautiful and majestic and magnificent, just like the clouds of Samantabhadra offering that actually pervades the entire world, and offering as well as laden with the fruit of the tree training, the two stages and the five paths. Because of these offering, it makes the Guru extremely delighted and happy at our creation of merit. If we practice in this manner and to accomplish the limb of offering, and it can actually allow our mind to give rise to great bliss with emptiness, and it can allow us to accomplish all the stages and path to enlightenment. So at this moment, what we visualize is actually all the qualities that benefit others and all the white virtues being amassed as offering. So, and then the dedication is such that we can attain the state of a Guru Buddha. And this is also a powerful cause for us to give rise to great bliss of emptiness, and a powerful cause for us to attain the state of Buddhahood. About the offering of realization, there are many ways to do it as well. For example, in the sea of contemplation is mentioned a form of realization offering, which is that everything all the merit from listening to the Dharma manifested as the eight offering water, and the eight bowls of offering water and offer, and all the quality became flowers as offering, and all the keeping morality transformed into incense and be transformed to offering, all the wisdom became light and became offering, all the faith become scented water and we make offerings, and all the meditation transform into nectar, drinking water, and then we make offering, and then with this and all, everything that's marvelous that we hear, every praise, etc., transform into music, and we make offering, and all these are infinite of infinite variety, varieties of forms of offering of realizations. So in the past, Lama Tsongkhapa actually mentioned that what offering delights the Guru best? It is the offering of realization. Offering a Dharma practice delights the Guru best. The thing that because this makes the Guru most delighted, therefore it is the best cause and best creation of causes for realization. The Buddhahood Milarepa also said, I have nothing, but then I can offer my Dharma practice to my Guru to make him happy. As a result of making the Guru delighted, therefore this is the best and most powerful cause for us to attain Buddhahood. So about the offering realization, now what it means is all the white virtue accumulated from the body, speech and mind, especially those accumulated from listening, contemplating and application, all these positive things for the benefit of all sentient beings are offered to my root Guru, and this is what is known as the offering of realization or offering of practice of Dharma. It also refers to every white virtue, every auspiciousness, and through our mind, we wish we actually transform and visualize taking form and making the offerings. The next offering is that of the inner secret, inner offering. We offer a libation of China tea, the color saffron, all the way the phrase 34 and purify and transform, increase into a sea of nectar. This whole 34th phrase refers to making of the inner offering. The phrase 34 here, offer libation of China tea, the color saffron, and steep in the glories of 100 flavors with a delicate bouquet, and this the five hook, the five lamb, and so forth is purified, transformed, etc. The five hooks refer to the five meats, and the five lambs refer to the five nectars. Is all purified into a sea of nectar and offered. This is something that will make the guru happy, and this can swiftly allow us to attain realization, this kind of offering. So about the making of the inner offering, and this inner offering refers to what and why the offering of the inner offering, what are the contents, and making the Lomachupa at the front, you're talking about blessing of the offering, and there's also blessing of the inner offering, and but what actually is the inner offering refers to the union of the father mother in union, the white and red bodhicitta, and offering of the union of the father and mother and Buddhas in union, the white and red bodhicitta. This kind of offering is not appropriate for the inexperienced practitioner, and so therefore inexperienced practitioner using the external representation as a valid symbolism for making of this actual red and white bodhicitta from the union of the Buddha father and mother. For the preliminary, for the inexperienced practitioner, the inner offering refers to, say, the China tea, and through drinking tea, it can actually increase the body strength, and can help us to achieve inner realization of the bliss, non-dual of emptiness, and therefore, for Buddhahood, for this inexperienced practitioner, this is how the matter works. About what is meant by China tea in India. Last time, this kind of drink refers to a drink only that can be drunk by the Brahmins. It does not necessarily mean just the tea leaves. It can also mean the combination of the juice of the combination of juice of 8 kinds of fruits. This can also be a possible explanation. They talk about China tea. Now, Chinese tea actually refers to the combination of 8 types of substances, including fruits and other substances. For example, the first one is a kind of substance which can help the bodily strength. Second kind is banana. Banana has a good minerals and vitamin, and the other kind is sieved water, and the fourth is kind of sandalwood water, and the fifth kind is opala flower. Opala flower refers to the appearance that is congruent with the appearance of every Buddha, and the sixth type of offering probably you can find it on earth now. It refers to on the mountain is a kind of prickly kind of grass that could give that can bear fruit, and of course seventh kind is grape, and eighth kind is rice water, cooked rice gruel. During the Buddha's time, and this is a tradition that exists even when the Buddha was around. The Buddha also gave permission for the bhikkhus to take partake of water like this in order to help the bhikkhus, the monks, for their health. Now, making this material, transforming to offering, what is the result? Of course, it can help the teacher's bodily strength, and it can also allow us to give us the wisdom and give us a clarity of mind. And when we talk, the speech will be reasonable, will be fluent, eloquent, and it will help us in the physical mobility of the movements. So therefore, and for the Vajrayana practitioner, with realization, the practitioner can use the union with the consort to make as offering. But for inexperienced practitioner, we can actually use wine as a representation. But for monks, especially if they're bhikkhu, they cannot take alcohol. So they actually use a nectar pill mixed with tea to make as offering as a representation of inner offering, and this also has a great tremendous merit. Therefore, when making in practicing Vajrayana, we must make inner offering if there are no other substances available, and we can also use clean water as an offering. But you actually add you need the nectar pill mixed with the pure water for it to become a vibrant inner offering. So about with regard to nectar pill, there are two types, and one is that made by the Sakya Pass, the other kind is made by the Geluk Pass. With a Vajrayogini practitioner, they can get the nectar pill made by the Sakyas. Sakya Pass nectar pill is very good. His Holiness Dalai Lama mentioned about these two. In Gelugpa in Tibet in the past, Tashi Lompo Monastery, they make the best kind of nectar pill, and the nectar pill from Gyuto Gyume are also excellent for the Gelugpa practitioners. So at the beginning, when making the mineral offering, they can transform to nectar to make the offering. A simple offering is just by saying Om Ah Om mantra. Om means for blessing, are transforming thing into nectar. Om increases and it becomes infinite. So, and in making the offering, what is the function? In many tantric texts, it's mentioned it is for sweet attainment of emptiness, please not doing emptiness, especially for planting. The is for planting the cause for the powerful cause for as to result into a great bliss, non-dual with emptiness. This phrase here, the five hooks and the five lambs, the five hooks, five hooks refer to the five kinds of meat, five lambs refer to the five kinds of nectar, and true offering is purified, transformed, increased into an ocean of the sea of nectar, through boiling, etc., visualization of it boiling in the inner offering cup. The five hook refers to the five kinds of meat. What are these five meats? Human meat, dog meat, elephant meat, horse meat, and bull meat. And these are the five meats that are referred to here. Why are these five meats are known as the five hook? Because these five meats are fortified with minerals and vitamins, so you can visualize them in the form of hooks. It means you can hook back the realization for all the disciples. So that's why we call the five meat as the five hooks. So therefore, the five hook refers to the acquisition hook that acquires it, they acquire something. So the five hook refers to something that is similar to the five hook that can allow the practitioner to swiftly attain realization. Now, the five nectar is also known as the five lambs. The five nectar refers to the white red bodhicitta, water, urine, as well as feces. And so why this five nectar is known as the five lamb? Because by offering the five nectar, you can actually, something is like lamb that can dispel the darkness of ignorance, a mirror-like form of wisdom, very clear wisdom. So by there's a result from making the five kinds of nectar. So therefore, this five nectar is also known as the five lamb, which illuminates and overcomes darkness. In the past, the great realized masters of the past, where do they make the five nectars and five meat? When they're making the veal of chalk offering, now the veal of chalk offering has very great results. First of all, it means that all the samaya that is impure between guru and disciple can be purified. It can make happiness to Dakadakinis, it can receive great blessing from the guru, and also allow us to swiftly attain realization. Hence, therefore, making this offering has such benefits. In the Lama Chuba, there's a verse where we make the chalk offering. Now we make the explanation for what are chalk offering. Now why should we make chalk offering? We have to make chalk offering. Why is it necessary? And what are the prerequisite for making the chalk offering? First of all, to start with, we need a Vajra Acharya, the activity Vajra, as well as the person who is making the offering. We need these three things to do a chalk. Now we're making the chalk. What is the time? And what is the text to use? And then later on, we will make the explanation based on the Guhya Samaja Tantra about the chalk offering. We just make a short introduction now. Later on, we'll make an elaborate one. First of all, the chalk offering must make people happy, must be clean. The chalk offering must be something that is not fresh, something that we do not like. If we make things that we generally don't like and usually we don't eat and use it as chalk, then it's a very bad, inauspicious cause, and it will cause us not to be able to attain realization. In order to do the talk in the Lama Chopa text, the petitioner must be somebody who has received the highest yoga tantra. And for someone who has already received highest yoga tantra initiation, has been keeping the vows, and this kind of people, through making of the talk thing, can swiftly attain realization. In this moment, the person who's making the chalk offering can through the Guru Idam Yoga and to visualize and create the merit field. Just like we talked about earlier on, first of all, we must bless the environment, the foundation, and then generate the merit field and make the and these are the preliminary before we make the offerings. Blessing the environment is just like as mentioned in the Lama Chopa earlier on. Next, when inviting the merry few, we must bless the inner offering. And the blessing in offering, there are three ways of meeting it: through meditation, through mantra, and through mudra. And why do we make the offering? Because it is making offering through to transform this the material into nectar. And the simpler form is to just sing Om Mahom. And after having transformed into nectar, becomes infinite like the ocean. It is a flawless nectar. For the person towards whom we make the offering are the root and lineage guru, because we need to bless the blessing of the root and lineage gurus. Now the other object is that the idam, so that we make to them we make the offering, so as to swiftly obtain realizations. The other party is that the Buddhas and Tripajam, this is to receive blessing of the Dharma. The fourth party object is the Dharma protector. This is to get rid of obstacles on the path to enlightenment and for accomplishment of holy activities. The fifth party are all the motherly sentient beings. Now this because in order to get rid of their suffering, pain and ignorance, making the wheel of chalk offering. Now we actually recite this phrase. The phrase here means that, the great wheel of the offering, or the Guru of Buddha of the three times, the source of all realization, and giving up all kinds of conceptualizations, spreading up between the range of thoughts. So this great wheel of the offering are being offered to all the Buddhas of the three times of the ten direction, those are all Buddhas of the past, and is also raw realization by understanding, by trying understanding, giving all kinds of ignorance, and through this enjoyment offering, I'm making the offering. Now, the teacher in the top offering will now reply, saying that me, who is not separable from the three Vajra, and this having transformed into its inherent nature, and then the great Bodhicitta is unshakable. So, may the all the body mandala deities experience peace, and though I receive the offering. So this means that the ourself who is inseparable from the three Vajra dissolve into the idam, and then through transforming that into the flawless substance, and the Bodhicitta is unshakable. And after making receiving this wheel of the offering, and such that the body becomes rises great bliss with emptiness, and through this we accept this because of this, or through this we shall accept the Thor offering. Now this is the manner of making the Thor offering. So we are just making a simple explanation to this here at this point. The manner of making the Thor offering is outer, inner, secret suchness Thor offering. And the manner of making the Thor offering is actually similar to the way Thor offering is presented in the Lama Chapa text. We're making the Thor offering. Now Song Rinpoche and Ling Rinpoche both mentioned a certain point, which is that making the Thor offering, Dakadakinis, there are specific places for them. For the male, they should sit on the right side, the female shall sit on the left side, but at the moment everybody is sitting together and haphazardly, so actually that's not the proper way. But making enjoying the Thor offering, you can only give the remainder Thor offering after partaking of the main Thor offering. We need to take the Thor offering first before giving the remaining before giving the remainder offering to the yakshas, the mammals, the landlords, and all the other hosts partaking of the remainder Thor. Next, we're making the remaining Thor offering. There's a specific sequence to follow, which means at the moment the person who's sitting at the last row or the inexperienced practitioner's position, this person should be responsible for making the remainder Thor, and it must be after having collected all the leftover Thor, and then we all have collected all the remainder Thor, and using blessing with Oma Home and with a stick of incense and stuck into it, and then before you can make the remainder Thor. The remainder Thor is so as to allow for accomplishment activity, especially for Vajrayana practitioner on the path, in order to be free from sticker, in order to allow for favorable condition, so that the person will make the remainder Thor offering. Next, what we're offering is the secret offering. Now, secret offering is corresponded to the third empowerment, the wisdom empowerment, and the phrase. Praise 35, we offer voluptuous illusion-like consorts, a host of messenger Dakini, born from play, mantra, simatli born, having slender figure aglow with the vibrance of you and skill in the 64 hours of love. Then when making the inner offering, the what kind of visualization is that? First of all, we must visualize that the place bond, mantra bond, and simultaneity bond, the four kinds of dakinis, and are being manifested from our heart. And so being manifested from our heart, and most importantly, instead of the mantra bond, dakinis. So dakinis are divided into four races, and refers to the lotus, the white conch, the elephant, and the beast. And so these four type races of dakinis are infinite, and all possess of different colors and sizes or shapes, and they are all beautiful, vibrant, and bestowing happiness to anyone whom they have contact with. The place bond dakini refer to all those born on earth, and the mantra bond means those who are born for mantra, and the simultaneously bond means they are inherently present. So that's the meaning of spontaneously born dakini. Now we must actually think that all these dakinis are about 16 years old, extremely beautiful. And why are we offering these so-called dakinis? This because it want to receive the attainment of the completion stage, and this is the reason why we offer the secret offering. Now at the moment, the attendant dakinis, each of their forms are extremely beautiful, and they have all sorts of ornaments, and the complexion are extremely lovely, vibrant, has a natural fragrance, and their skin are smooth, they are slender waist, and then they are voluptuous. So to choose our best, we offer only the best of the dakinis, and very extremely skilled in the 64 arts of love. And making such a visualization offering, now we should definitely have the principle of emptiness as a backdrop. So all these dakinis are like magical illusions, and because although they have the form, they're the manifestation, they are completely lack of inherent existence and are inherently empty by nature. We will not elaborate upon this portion, but anyway, with regard to making of this secret offering, it is to result in the swift realization of the completion stage. And through making this of this secret offering, it allow great bliss and delight to arise in the mind of the guru, and this in turn will consequence or result in a swift realization of the path for ourselves. Next, what we want to talk about is the offering of such. And now what is suchness offering? Now which portion of the text it comes from? It comes from verse 36. We offer you supreme ultimate bodhicitta, beyond words, thought, expression, spontaneous, invisible, void sphere of all things, all the way to simultaneous great bliss. Now this phrase refers to that of suchness offering. It means that free from all words, thought, and expression, spontaneous and invisible, void sphere, free from mental fabrication, unobstructed great pristine awareness, simultaneous bliss. Now, they refers to the completion, the such a nature of great bliss, the completed, perfected state of Buddhahood. It means everything that is the void sphere of all things, free from all mental fabrications. These states are inconceivable and can never be vocalized. And the object to which we made the offering is that of the guru who has realized ultimate bodhicitta. Now, to even simplify it further, it means that since before we made the secret offering, and through the attendant dakinis abilities, we allow the guru to be free from mental fabrication, and for the guru then to realize realization of emptiness through our earlier offering of the secret offering. So this phrase also refers in the ultimate nature, the undifferentiated non-dual great bliss. And through the non-dual great bliss, we are happy and joyful. About the great bliss, which is free from mental fabrication, refers to the Guru's mind, which means a mind that completely realizes every aspect of emptiness, and this possesses great blessings. Why do we need to make this kind of offerings? It's because for the yogi practitioner or the practitioner who needs a realization of the great bliss, non-dual emptiness, so as to arise great bliss, we need to offer the suchness offering. So this is allow us to swiftly accomplish the nature of great bliss. It's a powerful cause for us to achieve this swift realization of great bliss, non-dual emptiness. About outer inner secret suchness offerings, and these are all based upon the root Tantra Guhya Samaja's explanation. It is not something that has no scriptural reference. If you want to know it in a more even elaborate manner, you can actually study the Guhya Samaja root Tantra to get a more elaborated explanation of this. And next is a fifth kind of offering, means to offer of the medicine and an offering of our reverence or devotion to the Guru. The phrase is line 37, we offer sundry types of potent medicine all the way to keep us in our service as long as heavens endure. So what is mentioned here is that curing the plagues of 400 affliction. Now generally speaking, now we talk about illness. Now illness arises from four reasons, and these four causes refers to the attack of the winds or the heat, the bowel, etc. And so these are the four main reasons for illness. So what kind of medicine they refer to? It refers to medicine which arise due to the common karma of all beings that can benefit beings medically, such as injection, herbal medication, etc. All these are considered medicine. The second phrase is that in reference, we offer ourselves as servant to please you, which means that we can become our Guru's attendant, so such that the Guru can please tell us to use us in his holy service. So cure the plagues of the 400 affliction, offer sundry types of potent medicine. Now what are these potent medicine? How should we visualize them? It could be through flower garland, through gold, through clothings, etc. And we should know that in Tibet, Tibetan medicine, there are many kinds of use of the gold, precious medicine, etc. As well as in Tibetan medicine, these contain medicinal quality, and flower garlands, flower petals, etc. Also medicine in Taiwan and Singapore. We have also made a lot of kinds of offering, flowers as offering. This is very good. Why we make offering our clothing? Because in the cold, we offer warm clothing to keep ourselves warm, and this also can be considered as a form of medicine. Now, besides making all these types of offering in order to give rise to self-grasping, we also, or self-cherishing attitude, we also make ourselves as a kind of devotional service to the Guru, so that the Guru can engage us in his holy activities. So, and the Lama Trupa, many kinds of offerings I mentioned, outer, inner, secret, suchness, offering, etc. So especially offering of ourselves as a Guru's servant. Now this also belongs to the highest form of offering, and again, it's a very powerful. Now besides the Guru, the Lama Trapa's manner of offering, in the Heruka Root Tantra, they also mention many forms, ways of offering of gold, offering of precious stones, offering of clothing, offering of elephant, etc. All these different manners or materials of offering are all mentioned. the past too, we also in the past also there are people who offer wives, offer the children to the guru as offerings. The manner of offering, there are many kinds, but of course it should be given according to our ability, with the right motivation and ability. Now, of the seven limb, the limb of offering is completed. Now we talk about the limb of confession. With regard to confession, it can be, we do confession according to 35 confession Buddha, the general confession, or retaking of the Buddhist sattva tantric vows as forms of confession. Now, if there's enough time, we can do the complete text of the 35 confession Buddhas, the taking of the Bodhisattva vows and receiving the tantric five Dhani family Buddhas vow, as well as all the other commitments. We retake them. If we have enough time, we can do all these as forms of confession. We've committed from beginningless time every non-virtuous actions bound to misfortune. Now what it means is that all the realization, ripening of positive karma, it cannot ripen because of obscuration from the negative deeds we have committed in the past. So it's because of this we need to do confession. The manner of committing negative action, there are many kinds, but it can be categorized into three. Now the first is that those that we do ourselves, the other we encourage others to do the bad thing. Or the third kind would be that we rejoice, we're happy when we see negative deeds being enacted. Hence, from beginning this time until now, we have accumulated infinite negative karma from the body, speech and mind. We're making a confession. We should think that every negative action we have done, from killing, from sexual misconduct, from stealing, etc. Now, sexual misconduct, we could not exactly encourage others to do it, but we have to make confession in order to allow for ripening of positive deeds, especially with regard to arising of a realization from Dhamma practice. We need to make confession first, otherwise it will obscure the ripening of these realizations. So as they say, we give us a very strong regret about for all the negative deeds that we have done. We encourage us to do or rejoice at the enactment of this negative karma. All these we must feel regret and make confession, because all this negative karma allow ourselves not to receive auspiciousness, qualities or realization. So therefore we need to give us a strong regret. Or if we see other people, our enemies, people dislike getting killed or getting harmed, we feel happy, we rejoice in saying, yeah, it's good, this person is being attacked and harmed, this person is dead. So anyway, in short, all this negative karma from about this picture, my, we should remember and then to make the confession. Now we should actually contemplate and think that transgressions of Pratimoksha vow, or we have taken Bodhisattva vows, we have transgressed Bodhisattva vows, we need to give us a strong regret, or we have transgressed the tantric vows. All these we need to contemplate and make confession. Because of this transgression, we have a lot of suffering, pain, auspiciousness, etc. We need to strongly have a strong regret, in order to make a strong regret. And of course, this sense of regret belongs to the first of the four powers of confession. So having given rise to strong regret, we must also contemplate and think that because of all these negative deeds we have done in the past, now we experience many kinds of suffering, many kinds of pain, and the realization of the Dharma and the qualities cannot arise. All these are because of these transgressions, all the negative deeds we have done. So we need to be careful, be wary, not to do them again, not to commit these negative deeds again, being extremely aware and acutely alert to their disadvantages. And this is the second out of the four powers. Similarly too, You have to understand that the triple gem, towards them, we have very strong faith to the triple gem, and this, of course, is the third power, the power of reliance. The first power of regret, the second is the power of promise, of clarity, a determination never to commit them again. Third is the power of reliance, which is a very strong faith to the triple gem. When contemplating all these downfalls first is regret, second is a promise not to do again, three with strong faith to triple gem is a reliance, the power, and then when thinking of all these portion, no matter whether we are doing Lama Chopa, we are doing circumlamenting stupa, we are doing mantra, or manapeme ho, we are doing sutra, etc. This is the fourth power, the power of antidote. The Buddha has said that if, with these four power, there's no negative karma that cannot be effectively eliminated or purified. And through this portion, we can understand that why in the past, even though we made a kind a lot of confession, we accumulate a lot of merit, why purification is not effective, and why that's because we never completely are possessed of these four powers. So therefore, to the Guru and Triple Gem, we need a strong faith. We need to understand the Guru, who is omniscient, has infinite quality, and so give us the great faith. And then second, towards to all the wrong we have done, we give us a strong regret, and then being very clear of the disadvantages, we make a promise not to do them again, and then through on the basis of this earlier tree, we do prostrations, etc. And with this four power, there is no negative karma that can never be purified. We need to do confession in this proper manner. About the four powers in Tibet, it has happened, this happening, which is between Lama Atisha and Drontrompa, and at the time Drontrompa paid a visit to Lavendarupa Atisha and asking why is it that I cannot give us the realization of positive quality for my practice. Please give me blessing, Atisha, so that I can swiftly attain realization of all stages of the path. So when the Rupa Atisha told him that you cannot give rise to positive qualities because of your coming obscurations are not purified. So you have a lot of negativities that you need to purify. So Drontrompa at that time returned to his place and made a lot of the confession based on this four power. And then, but he discovered something, which is that when he think of a promise not to do again, he thinks that he, even though he promised not to do bad again, he could inadvertently still kill others. So he could inadvertently still do stealing. He said, I could lie to others, but I cannot lie to my teacher, who is the guru, who is the Buddha. So he said, in that case, since I couldn't lie to my guru, I might as well use just three powers and not the second power of promise not to do again. So therefore, Drontrompa to Lama Atisha, he used only three powers because he doesn't dare to use the second power because he think he could he could break the promise not to do bad things again. So therefore, but Atisha told him, no, you should still use the four powers, even though there's a possibility that you could still do bad things in the future. So Drontrompa returned, used the four power, and then gained realization. So that's the point, is that we should still use the four power to rely on them, even though there's a possibility we may still commit negative acts in the future, and so bring our promise to the Triple Gem. So over here, what we mentioned here is that from beginningless time, all these non-virtuous actions that we have done, no matter we have done ourselves, we encourage us to do it, we're happy that others have done it. All these in front of the assembly, a great compassion, I give strong regret, great shame, and promise not to do them again, and make a commitment that in the future I shall never do them again. So at this time, What they are saying is that they are reliance and an antidote are implicitly suggested but are not explicitly stated in the text here. With regard to the four powers, you should understand that the power of of regret means that is to give rise to strong self-regret not to do the bad things again. We got the promise not to do them again. Means that in the past we have done a lot of bad deeds, so there are very bad consequences. So seeing the reality of these bad consequences, we decide not to do them again. For example, now whatever bad things we've done, we are captured and then we are asked to sign to confess to our deeds, in order so as not to allow these things to happen again. We promise not to commit the negative acts. The power reliance means all the faith in the Guru and Tripajam. So with regard to the power antidote, there are many ways. You can think of impermanence. This also can be an antidote. Saying Om Mani Padme Hum mantra is also an antidote. Saying the 35 Confession Buddha is also an antidote. Saying Misema is an antidote. So in other words, any other body, speech and mind exertion in positive dharmic acts can be a viable method of power of antidote. The past Buddha Shakyamuni himself has said that in order to be possessed of the four powers, there is no negative karma that cannot be purified. So therefore we have to understand that what the Buddha has said is that all the present karma, defilement must stop, but all the habitual tendencies cannot be so easily purified. Now, what is defilement, what is negative karma? They are like somebody who is carrying a very heavy burden, and because of the heavy burden, it refers to negative karma. Because of the negative karma, they can't do other things, they can't lift anything else up. So similarly here, with negative karma, the positive qualities cannot be shown. So when we're doing negative purification, the burden is thrown off, then you can carry other things, which means positive qualities therefore can then be taken up. So therefore, we prefer negative karma, we'll be away from illness, sickness and all other negativities. You must understand in terms of karma, what is karma? Karma cannot be eliminated just like that. Karma is definite. Karma that's not been caused, which has not been created, there will be no result. And any cause that is created, there definitely will be a result. So this means that any karma that's been created, regardless of how long the period of time, the fruition definitely shall happen. So therefore, confession is definitely necessary. Following, we are talking about the limb of rejoicing, and the limb of rejoicing, the phrase here is verse 39, though all things are like a dream, lacking inherent or natural existence, we sincerely rejoice in the happiness and joy of all ayahs and all dream beings in the ever-wide virtue that's ever-arisen, which means that every phenomena are free from inherent existence. So they are like dream, they are like shadow, or like visions. So like in dream, all forms, names, aspects can appear in a dream, but these are all not do not exist in reality, just like every phenomena outside. Like phenomena are like dreams, etc. So similarly here, all holy beings and all new beings, every white virtue that they created, even though these themselves, these white virtue themselves are like dream, we also rejoice in them. Just like Venerable Atisha said, rejoice is the most skillful means of accumulating merit, because we don't have to slog and slave and have difficulty indeed. So we simply through rejoicing we can get the same positive karma. So there's nothing more skillful or marvelous other than that. In the past, Lama Tsongkhapa has also said that with just one small little thought, you can create infinite merit. So this is the best way to accumulate merit. Now, earlier on, we mentioned about the part, the limbs are prostrating, offering, confessing, rejoicing. Now, the next limb is the request to turn the wheel of Dharma. Similarly, there are four phrases, we ask that rains of us and profound Dharma fall all the way down to the bliss of those limitless beings. Phrase 40. Now this part is the limb of the request of turning of the wheel of Dharma. Now it means that as the rings of us in profound Dharma fall for 100,000 cloud below is sublime wisdom, loving, compassion, which means wherever there's cloud there'll be rain. So similarly, when Buddha Shakyamuni, his great compassion, his great wisdom, and the guru wisdom and compassion pervades everywhere, pervades all space, and so it can anywhere or time where needed will let fall a shower of rain. So space are infinite, and similarly the ground stretches, expands everywhere. Where there's ground, where there's space, there's sentient being. So wherever there's being and where they need it, please let a rainfall Dharma fall so that all beings have peace and benefit. So for all beings whose merit not arise, may arise. May those merit already have arisen, may be even more stable and increase. So, so this is a request to the Buddha to turn the vast and profound Dharma. And then, at this moment, what do we visualize? We visualize Guru Vadadhara. The Guru Vadadhara, please turn the wheel of Dharma. Why? Because all sentient beings, happiness, source of good and happiness, arise from Dharma. So all in all beings' hearts, in their hearts, you must think that for them all to attain happiness, all beings want happiness and want to be free from suffering. So for all beings to attain ultimate happiness and temporary happiness, so any person who can give ultimate happiness is from the Guru, and the Guru received this teaching from the Buddha. So in one of the texts is mentioned that about Dharma, what is Dharma? Dharma refers to someone who has realized Dharma. Someone who realized Dharma can then teach it to others. So similarly, if today people who practice the Dharma and for others, they are not a person who is not realized Dharma cannot teach it to others. If someone teach others what to adopt, what to abandon, this person themselves must know what to adopt and what to abandon. Like the Buddha, with the great equanimity, always teach all beings without any discrimination, whether relative, strangers, through perfect equanimity, the Buddha taught the wheel of Dharma. So similarly, we also request the Buddha to turn the wheel of Dharma to benefit all sentient beings. Similarly, so that for all beings where the merit has not arisen, may their merit arise. For those beings whose merit has arisen, may it increase and be even more stable. And we request all beings turn the vast and profound Dharma. Request the unceasing the Guru to stay unceasingly forever stably in the world. And this is the next limb, which is request for the Guru to stay for eternity. Now the next verse is to request the Guru not to enter Nirvana. In the Ganden Lagyama, this verse is placed in front, whereas here is behind. Now why is this so? Because for the Guru to turn the wheel of Dharma, the Guru must stay on long in the very first place. So there is a result. Therefore, we request the teacher to stay into eternity so that he can continue to turn the wheel of Dharma. So this phrase, as this from, I think, phrase 41, though your virtual body is subject to neither birth nor death, all the way down to pass not beyond some sorrow until samsara end, though your virtual body is subject to neither birth nor death, is a vessel of unity's wish granting gem. Please abide forever and keeping their wishes and not pass beyond to samsara end. Now, Guru's virtual body is without beginning nor end and is neither permanent nor is it temporary. So, we are just requesting the Guru to turn the wheel of Dharma. Vast and profound is because we, the faithful disciples, have faith, and we also request that the Guru can stay forever until into eternity and not enter into Nirvana. Now, this phrase refers to the Guru. Vajradhara has attained the ultimate state of Buddhahood and is beyond what is birth, death, or even stably abiding or not stably abiding. But for the sake for all sentient beings' faith and accumulation of merit, please kindly stay long until samsara has end. You pray to the Guru to stay and not pass into Nirvana until samsara has ended. So this phrase requesting the Guru not to pass the Nirvana in an even simply straightforward manner, what it means is that even though since we have not attained Buddhahood, we need to rely on the Guru in order to attain realization. So without the spiritual guide, without the teacher, we cannot through our own efforts attain progress on the path. So everything is rely on the Guru, rely on the spiritual guide. So we need to request the Guru to turn the wheel of Dharma, and until we have not attained Buddhahood, we need to rely on the Guru. So because of this reason, we need the Guru not to pass into Nirvana, but to stay in order to guide us until we attain Buddhahood. So this phrase, another way of explaining is that from the great bliss inherent nature, this manifested 32 major signs, 80 minor marks, Buddha has no living, destruction, abiding, etc., creation. So, but for the sake of all sentient beings, the Sambhogakaya and the Manakaya forms of the Buddha bodies are manifested. They are not forever abiding and can enter Nirvana. So it is true only through the request of sentient being that they not enter Nirvana. So otherwise these will dissolve into the Dhammakaya, and then once dissolved to Dhammakaya, they cannot teach the Dharma to benefit all beings. Hence the Sambhogakaya and the Manakaya form are in the world based upon the request of beings. So in this phrase we have to talk about Buddha Shakyamuni story. Now Buddha Shakyamuni enter into human realm when the lifespan of beings are 100 years. Why is that so? Because in this fortunate aeon, in sequence, there will be 1,000 Buddha coming down to our human realm. And Buddha Shakyamuni is the fourth of these 1,000 Buddha who descend into our human realm. Even though in the fortunate aeon there will be 1,000 Buddha, but at this particular period of time, when human lifespan is 100 years, all the 999 Buddhas do not wish to manifest Buddhahood during our period now, when our lifespan is of 100 years. Only Buddha Shakyamuni has taken on the task or has manifested in our realm during this period when our lifespan is of 100 years, when defilements are especially great, strong, and negativity is extremely powerful during this period of time. Why? Because human rhymes time is has over 100 years. The beings are extremely negative, defilements are extremely gross and powerful. No other Buddhas are willing to descend human rhyme during this period. Only Buddha Shakyamuni has taken on the task of manifesting Buddhahood during this time. Lama Tsongkhapa at that time, because of this reason, Lama Tsongkhapa has praised Buddha Shakyamuni is like a red lotus. A red lotus amidst all the other lotuses or the other colored lotuses, which is extremely extraordinarily unique and extremely rare amongst all the lotuses. Buddha Shakyamuni is extremely rare to have done so. Like Lama Tsongkhapa has praised, like, Buddha descended out of earth when human beings span is 100 years. So Buddha Shakyamuni actually should be 100 years only. But Buddha passed in Nirvana in 81 years old. Now, there are two ways of explaining this, because Venerable Ananda, Ananda requests the Buddha to ordain 500 nuns. As a result, the Buddha's lifespan has decreased to 81 years old. The other way is that the disciples' merit be decreased, so Buddha Shakyamuni cannot stay long for 100 years. This is the reason why we request Buddha not to enter Nirvana in order for ourselves to accumulate merit, and therefore we request the teacher and the Buddhas not to enter to Nirvana. So this is the reason why we need to request the Guru to enter for long, for being to accumulate merit, so that the Guru's life can be stable and be long. Now, in the past, it was said that Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching, the period of it living, staying here. Now, there are one saying is that the Buddha, the Siddhartha, will stay in the world for 5,000 years, and this 5,000 have different periods within it. The first period is the period of attainment, the period of the right Dharma, of the proper Dharma, is 1,500 years, and then the all these different periods, arahanthood, etc., all will stay, then will be manifested during this first period, the period of the proper true Dharma. Next time, it will be the period of the 1,500, the next 500 years will be that of the Dharma of form, where only form shall exist, but there are no attainment, etc. This is the second period. Now, our period belongs to the time where there are only form. The Dharma exists in form but not in attainment. The next one is dedication. The dedication part. It's the dedication limb, the last of the seven limb. We dedicate the phrase 42, we dedicate collection of white virtue, all the way to that we may attain the Vajradasa state of unity. This is the last of the seven limbs. All the merit we've accumulated, all the body, speech and mind virtue, all the meditation, the listening, contemplating and application, all the ethics, all the concentration and wisdom, all these qualities that we have accumulated, all these we dedicate. So the next phrase is mentioned that the Guru of the Three Kindness, we should understand the root Guru of Three Kindness refers to what? Not all Guru are root Guru of Three Kindness. The Guru of Three Kindness means those who have given empowerment, who has given you oral transmission, given teaching. Only this kind of teacher are known as the Guru of Three Kindness. The oral transmission means the teaching or oral transmission of the Lamrim is mainly teacher who give oral transmission. Mainly the teacher who give oral transmission refers mainly to the Guru who give oral transmission of the Lamrim. So what we dedicate, how do we dedicate? We dedicate because before Buddhahood we make request to all the Guru that we unreservedly make supplication to the Guru until we attain Buddhahood, requesting to the Guru that Venerable Guru possessing the Three Kindness, may we be inseparably protected throughout our life until Buddhahood is attained, that we may attain the state of the Vajradhara. Now, how do we visualize here? Now, we should visualize that all the white virtue may become a cause for the attainment of the Vajradhara state of unity. With this, we make the dedication that what's meant by the state unity of Vajradhara that refers to the Vajrayana attainment, or that in the Vajrayana, we call this attainment of the Vajradhara state of unity. Now, if we are just making an even more extensive explanation, we have to understand that at the moment, we have received this short human rebirth. This human rebirth is perfect, with the 8 leisure and 10 perfections. Now we have a teacher to guide us, and the teacher has transmitted all the Buddha's teaching to all of us in a correct, proper, authentic manner. We have met a teacher with the correct form and proper qualities. And if we still cannot practice according to this teacher who appeared to us in a perfect form and teach us in a proper manner, so we have this qualified spiritual guide, we have all the proper condition in place, and we still cannot accomplish the unsurpassed state of Buddhahood, then in our future life, what are we going to do? So therefore, to all the white virtue, we shall not waste them, we shall dedicate them for attainment of the unsurpassed highest state of Buddhahood, for attainment of the Vajradhara state of unity. And if we don't dedicate our merit, then the merit can be destroyed by ignorance or anger or regret of the white virtues that we created. Now we have the teacher of the very great kindness, we have the 8 leisure and the 10 perfections of a human body, and through the guru we have attained the precious oral teachings and all the merit we have accumulated from learning the Dharma, etc. So we should dedicate for attainment of the state of Vajradhara. Otherwise, the human body is wasted, the merit wasted, and in future life, it will be very difficult for us to have the same chance, the same perfect opportunity again. Now, in the Guide to the Pasatva's Way of Life, was mentioned that when doing dedication, we should dedicate mainly for attainment of the highest state of Buddhahood. This is so that until we attain Buddhahood, this merit will never be degenerated or spoiled, wasted. Otherwise, they are saying that a spark of anger can destroy a limitless merit, or any of the defilements can destroy infinite merit. So therefore, we should dedicate for attainment of Buddhahood so that the merit will stay until Buddhahood is attained and will never be degenerated or spoiled. With regard to the portion of dedication, this of aspect where dedication goes in the entry into the middle way, you're saying that whatever positive karma that we created, any merit is accumulated with understanding emptiness as the background, then the merit will never be destroyed until Buddhahood is attained. But if you dedicate without understanding of emptiness, the merit can still be destroyed. Lama Tsongkhapa has also mentioned that. And God Bodhisattva way of life, he didn't say that. He's saying that so long as you dedicate for attainment of Buddhahood, the merit will never be destroyed. And this text also gave the simile that if a drop that's being dropped into an entire ocean, the drop will become inseparable from the ocean. And so long as the ocean exists, the drop of water will continue to stay also as part of the ocean. So similarly, when dedicate for Buddhahood the merit will also never be wasted. And this is what the Guide to Bodhisattva way of life, this commentary, this is the what the text said, which is different from what the entry into the middle way, saying that if you dedicate without understanding of emptiness, or against with the emptiness, understanding of emptiness is a backdrop, as its underlying principles, the merit will still be destroyed. Now, in the oral Kadampa, in the oral transmission lineage of the Kadampa, they're saying there are two things to do, before and after. Now, before, we need to establish the correct motivation, and of course, that should be the bodhicitta motivation. Towards the end, you need to do dedication for a term of the highest state of Buddhahood. Otherwise, the other defilements, such as anger, etc., would degenerate and spoil the merit that's created. So, in the Kadampa oral transmission, motivation lineage, there's these two before and after we need to do, before the motivation and after the dedication. So therefore, through this, we should understand dedication is extremely important. We don't dedicate all the what virtue we've exerted so much effort into can be easily wasted. His Holiness Dalai Lama has also mentioned that in the morning we need to realize to think that whatever I do today, I must give to benefit to all others and not to harm others. We need to establish compassion as the guiding motivation we have in the morning. At night, we need to contemplate and think that whatever what virtue I've committed today are by nature empty and cannot be. So I need to dedicate for attainment realization emptiness and dedicate for attainment of Buddhahood, which is that when we make this kind of dedication at night, we can sleep properly, peacefully, and we have very auspicious dreams too. And moreover, within the dream, we can also create extremely great merit while at night sleeping. So therefore, every day before we wake up in the morning, we need to hold the wish not to harm beings. This wish is our aim. Then we will not harm beings, because all this kind of karma, bad karma, arise from harming others. Now at night, all these inherent existence cannot be established based on the manifested form and name. So with the emptiness is the backdrop, is the underlying principle. This with dedication, with this kind of emptiness, we dedicate the merit whenever we wasted. This is stated clearly in the sutra. And if we actually sleep with the principle, with understanding of emptiness as our background, also the entire night's sleep can also be a cause for the practice of dharma and accumulation of merit. In the 400 stanzas, Ayadeva also mentioned that the wisdom of emptiness is so critically important. A small little merit we accumulated cannot allow us to realize emptiness, and the wisdom of realizing emptiness with wisdom of emptiness, we create a lot of good karma. This kind of good karma that we actually create on with the basis of the wisdom of emptiness, this kind of merit will never be degenerated. We should all know when we have defilements, especially when giving rise to anger, to greed, attachment. At this time, you want to give rise to bodhicitta, compassion, loving kindness. It's very difficult to act as an antidote against anger or attachment. Now, what should we do? Now, we should actually use wisdom. We should especially wisdom of selflessness. And we know that actually self is inherently empty. So when you know this, very naturally, anger, attachment themselves will cease, because there is nothing for us to grasp upon. In 400 stanzas by Deva, now this is very clearly stated in the text. So in the morning, all the diligent effort we exert for accumulation of white virtue, we truly need to dedicate for attainment of highest Buddhahood. Or at night, we should make the aspiration that we can swiftly attain the state of Buddhahood to earn the benefit of all sentient beings, so that even in dream, all the things that we engage in our dream will also be positive, and all our white and positive karma. Now, if we do not know how to dedicate, that's also okay. We simply think that all dedication, I dedicate just like how the Bodhisattva Samantabhadra is dedicated. Similarly, I learn to be like him, like how Lama Tsongkhapa is dedicated. I also dedicate like how Lama Tsongkhapa, how the Bodhisattva Samantabhadra dedicate. Similarly, I also dedicate likewise. Now, in the past in Tibet, yes, also this happening, but it's a very factual thing. So there's this man called Apo Ho, and Apo Ho is an old lady, and who is an emanation of Dakini, and this emanated old lady light a small little lamp and went to the Jewel Buddha, very precious statue in Lhasa in front. Then Apo Ho came here. He doesn't know much, and he's always living with the sheep and doesn't know much matter, but he carried a huge tub of oil to try to make offering to the Buddha, very holy statue of the Buddha. And then he saw the Dakini making aspiration in front of the Buddha, and said, since he doesn't know, he said that since I don't know how to make dedication or make aspiration, aspiration, and he just say, whatever the Dakini has made aspiration, I also make the same aspiration. Then as a result of him having this wish, he gained such great realization. And then when he, in retrospect, he wondered how could he manage to have such high realization, he realizes because he made the prayer that whatever the Dakini has dedicated, he too dedicate likewise. So as a result of this, he also attained a very high realization as a result of this. So hence therefore, since even though we do not know how to make aspiration, dedication, we can also think, just like how the Bodhisattva Samantabhadra inside the text, that his text dedicated, we similarly dedicate likewise. And this would be similarly as powerful and magnificent. In the Samantabhadra aspiration, the king of prayer, the text. Now, this aspiration is known as the quintessential, the most critical syncretic form of all aspiration, especially in one of the specific phrase, where the sages is how William Manjushri and Brisa Mantri dedicate, so do I dedicate likewise.